The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Father of mine, tell me, where have you been? You know, I just closed my eyes.
Hello.
Hello, Ruby.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you doing? Everything good over there?
Yeah. Good morning to you. Yeah, everything is cool.
Yeah, well, so glad you're here. It was good talking to you last night. And, yeah, man, we're ready to go. What's on tap for today, Dad? I know the leaves are getting ready to fall, and that's a big deal around your house.
Well, we were warned about the heavy-duty weather here.
Yeah, it's been a little weird. I got thunder over where I'm at right now, and I don't know if you got any thunder where you were yesterday. Did you experience any of that?
Yeah, we had last night. We had the thunder.
But
it's supposed to have some more today.
Don't you live in an area where if there's one lightning strike, the whole community loses power?
No, as a matter of fact, we haven't had any issues really with the power.
Well, you did a few weeks ago.
One time on a short note, you know.
Yeah. Well, I hope it goes okay. Hope everybody's all right.
Yeah, that's great. In the past we had really nasty stuff.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen again.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes. So how's everything going out there between yesterday and today? It did rain quite a bit last night.
Yeah, wasn't bad. Wasn't bad at all.
We've had like bombs going on somewhere. The lightning, you know, and the thunder.
Yeah, it sure was. Dad, so what's on TV?
What's on TV?
Yeah.
You mean right now?
Yeah, it's like super loud.
Oh, I don't know. she got the talk going. I don't know what to do with this thing. Yeah. I got to get her to do this.
Yeah, if she could turn it down a little, it's kind of like...
Oh, we're going to shut it down. Hold on a minute, honey. Joanne?
That's okay.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Joanne, where the hell are you? Oh, she split. Well, maybe I can do it. Hold on a minute.
Yeah, there's a button that says power.
Oh, it's just loud. Oh, boy.
Hey, that's okay.
Well, you're great today. I don't know what else should do one. Honey, wait a minute. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Take your time. It's okay.
Turn the TV down.
Well, you can't say it like that. You gotta say please.
Well.
Say, honey, can you please turn the TV down?
Okay, we're done.
Hey, that's okay. Don't even worry about it. It's
done.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want. You mean? Okay.
Oh, hey. This is a show, man.
Okay, well, now we're ready. So, Dad, Aram writes in. He's got a question for you.
Huh?
Aram has some questions for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Aram says, good morning.
Good morning.
And then he writes, during a week, how many times should a family go out to eat at restaurants if the family is not wealthy?
I don't think... they haven't got the funds and all that. They shouldn't be going out to eat at all. They should go buy some stuff to cook at home and, you know.
Yeah. Dad, are you near the phone right now? It sounds like something's different.
No. Put it up to your mouth, bro.
Wait a minute. Huh?
Put the phone up like this.
Yeah.
She says put the phone
up to your mouth.
Yeah, like you're talking on the phone.
Hold on a minute.
It's okay. It's okay.
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 I don't know what it is. I never did have to hold a phone anywhere.
No? Yeah.
How is this now?
It sounds great.
Oh, okay. All right. I guess that's what it was. Joanne knows what she's doing.
Okay. Yeah, she's in charge. I love it. No. I'm the same way. Whenever there's something I need, I just yell out, Diana.
Hey, listen, I only live here.
No,
cook, I don't do nothing, you know.
If we didn't have our women, we wouldn't be taken care of.
Oh, that's what doggone sure. Oh my God, yes.
That's why you have to be nice to your ladies. You can't, because they take care of us, right?
Well, I have no other choice. I get beat up.
Okay. So
you see the club she's got.
Arams had asked about going to restaurants. How many times a week should a family go to eat at restaurants if the family is not wealthy? And you said none.
None at all. You got to buy some food, bring it home. Uncooked food and cook it and eat it.
Do you think that if a family goes out to eat at Applebee's a few times a week, that they're considered wealthy?
I don't think I consider them wealthy, but I think it's foolish.
It is foolish, but I think that if my neighbor goes to Applebee's a couple times a week, it would be silly to say, are you like a millionaire because you go to Applebee's? That's silly, right?
Absolutely. This is hard times.
Yes. Yeah.
And the money that goes into that, my God, think of it this way. If you really want to be a generous person, take the money that you're going to go spend in a restaurant and feed some hungry person.
There you go. People love that.
This is ridiculous.
All right.
We got to help each other,
Aram also says, Dear Meathead, I have a friend whose vocal cords were injured in a surgery. And now he talks with a really deep voice. And he has another friend who made fun of his deep voice. What do you have to say to that guy?
I think just ignore the hell out of him and trying to avoid the guy. That's all.
I love deep voices.
Joanna loves deep voices. I'm talking to you right now. Have I got deep voice?
No, you've got you have a deep voice, but this guy's voice apparently makes him sound like a caveman.
Yeah. I don't know. Hey, if that's his voice, his natural voice, he can't avoid it. Well,
yeah.
What else is he going to do,
Yeah, or either that or maybe the guy just made up a story that his vocal cords got hurt in surgery just because he's got a silly-sounding voice.
Well, I don't know what his motives are, but it is what it is,
Gotcha. All right. Brian writes this, Dear Meathead, is pro wrestling a real sport or merely a hobby?
I think pro wrestling is, to beat each other up the way they do it, body is taking a toll. I think it's foolish. I really do. Have a regular type of sport. For wrestling. Wrestling is a sport.
It's a sport. You're saying wrestling, pro wrestling is a sport. That's the one where they like body slam each other and hit each other.
No, I don't mean that. I mean actual wrestling.
Okay. Yeah.
Sport wrestling.
What about the type like with Hulk Hogan and they jump from the top rope?
No, that's stupid to me. But somebody is getting injured.
Yeah, I think it's stupid too. And people who like it are probably morons.
I cannot tolerate that kind of thinking,
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
I was just thinking, a couple of days ago something happened. I was cleaning the outside of the house, the street and all that.
Yeah.
And then the yard cleaning, and my neighbor showed up.
Yeah.
Didn't show up. He just on his street.
Yeah.
On his side. And I yell, hi, Bill, And hi, Bill. Hi, Rob.
Yeah.
And he run right in his house. I cannot understand. I said hi, Bill, with such a lot of love. I don't know why.
Yeah, you were like, hey, Bill, how are you?
Yeah, really, you know. And then also in conjunction with that, he's got a stepson that lives with him. A real nice, like, it could be a nice kid, but he's got a really bad mouth.
Okay.
And I try to avoid him. Now, he happened to be working with your other brother. What's his name, Gwen?
Norman.
Okay.
Not Norman.
Yes, Norman.
Yeah, it is. Okay. And I never did introduce Norman to him in any form or fashion or conversation that I got a son named Norman and all that.
Okay.
He somehow is working with him, same with General Motors.
Oh, and at the auto plant.
At Chrysler's,
I'm sorry.
Okay, all right.
That's not relevant. He's really got a bad mouth.
All right.
And I cannot tolerate that, so okay. I try to avoid him.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. He swears too much. Yeah. Oh, really? I've got friends like that too.
I'm not going to mention the stuff on the phone.
Right. I've got a friend named Kyler and another friend named Megan that do the same thing.
He used the wordage like we've been buddy buddy for 150 years.
Yeah.
And we've always talked like that with each other. No. I don't have a bad mouth.
Right. So
I don't like bad mouth.
So what do you do? Do you like tell the guy or just keep it to yourself?
No, I try to back off. So goodbye.
Yeah. You kind of get out of that deal. He's just too abusive in his language.
Yeah, and you know what? All of the time that this was going on, I never mentioned that I have a son and they work together.
Okay, so the point of this is Norman works with the guy with the potty mouth.
Right.
Okay, and that just popped into your brain.
And yeah, and then I'm wondering, what does Norman do? He never tells me.
Oh, I know what he's. Norman is in charge of a crew.
And, I know.
Yeah, and so they build stuff at the auto plant.
Yes.
So yeah, he's in charge of them. So he's probably
They do the same things.
Okay, so you just found this out that recently that the guy works with your son?
Well, no, I've known him for a while, but I avoid him. I never mention Norman or nothing, but he keeps talking about Norman.
You should make stuff up that you're doing and then see if it gets back to Norman. Like, announce that you just won $5 million and see if Norman calls.
That's a good thing.
Or you should pick the brain of the guy, your neighbor, and say, so Norman is your boss. Does he ever approach you and start telling you stories about the women he's dating and stuff like that?
No, I do not engage in any of that conversation with him.
Okay.
I try to make the conversation to minimal knowledge conversation.
Yeah. Well, are you going to work up the nerve to say to the guy, hey, how come you swear so much? Is that where this is going?
No, I can do that, but I don't want to because I don't want to start up World War III in here.
You know, Dad, I always err on the side of caution. I usually never say anything that upsets people that makes them hate me.
Absolutely.
So that's the way
to
go. I always make a point of handling people very carefully. And I don't ever call them fat or say that they're poor or that they have a bad haircut or.
No, I don't. That's right.
Yeah, I never do that.
Their makeup and let it go, you know.
You know, you just got to let it. You just got to let people be people. And
absolutely. You have a great analogy.
That's what I do. And it has worked wonderfully. You know,
going around knocking people because of what they do, what they have as a habit, is not a norm to live
right.
with.
To make fun of an audience member's wife's teeth would be a horrible decision on my part. That's why I would never
Absolutely.
Do that.
I listen. I really do when it comes to this kind of conversations. I don't participate in it.
Right, right. Chris in Maine, the great state of Maine, says, can we get a royal family take from Meathead. So, you know, the royal family's been in the news the last 10 days with the passing of the queen.
Yes.
What have been your thoughts seeing this all happen, Dad? It seems like it's been an enormous news story.
Well, first of all, this situation of the European type of a style is a total different style for us. Well, the queen was highly respected.
Correct.
And then, I mean, why do you want to make any comments?
Well, I mean, I was just, how did it make you feel seeing that a big celebration of her life? You know, they're walking through the streets with the coffin. People are waiting in line 24 hours to see her. It was incredible.
Well, I mean, that's, if you want to, in reality, that time wasted because this person is a deceased. But then again, that's their style.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I thought that was, I mean, my God, you wait in line 24 hours. Just to,
yeah, that's, I mean, thousands of people.
Right, right. My God.
Can you imagine us doing that to some bonehead?
Well,
a person in there in our Congress or something?
Well, I think we, I mean,
if we've never done that.
Well, I don't know. The president dies. They usually lay him in state, you know, for a.
We buried him, and that was the end of it.
Kennedy had something like that, right?
Yeah, Joanne said Kennedy had that.
Yeah, that was an ugly one right there. That was rough.
No, yeah.
Shot him in the head. That was rough.
I think my analogy is this. Let's say that I died, okay?
Yeah.
Whatever I decided that I wanted to be dead with, like put it in a campfire or something. That's the way it is. And be done with it.
So, yeah, if we
drag it on for 12 days. And,
do you have a will?
No.
You have not written a will?
Joanne says, I got a written will.
Yeah, some people, like, some people's wishes might be cremated or ashes spread everywhere or something like that.
I do.
Are you able to reveal what that is, or is that a secret?
It's not a secret.
You want to be cremated.
I want to be cremated.
Yeah. What can we do with the ashes? Can we spread them up north?
Do whatever you want to do.
Divide them up.
Sell it.
Leg here, toe there.
Yeah.
Leg here and toe there.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's awesome. I'm all for it. I think that would be.
Oh, my God. That's a person that died.
Now, Dad.
Half of these people didn't even love each other when they were living.
Now, you said something about throw on the campfire. Do you want us to burn your body on the campfire? Is that what you're suggesting?
Whatever it turns you on. I won't know the difference. No, I say campfire because it's the cheapest way to go.
Florida, this person, Florida man, has a comment, and he says, Ruben is going to give a gift all of his silverware and plates to the police station in Iran.
Hey, as a matter of fact, that's a good idea. Because they always used to knock on our door to borrow paper.
I know. We know.
Plates, silverware, and all that. And never, sometimes we didn't even get it back.
That's a great comment. That's a great comment, to be sure. All right.
Yeah.
One more follow-up on the whole queen thing. Are the royals, like king, queen, royal family, are they important public figures? Do you think?
It's important because of their tradition.
In England, they are.
In England, it's very important. That's what they like to do. And I don't think it does not require any ridicule from any source. Let it be.
Let it be. Yes, that's what the Beatles
follow
said.
Follow the tradition, have the funeral done with, and that's the end of the line.
All right.
No.
Okay.
People like to make issues out of you know, hey.
Well, I don't know if they're making an issue about that. There have been a few conversations that have taken place about various things that
I mean, if it's a tradition, that's a great thing. Follow the tradition and be done with it.
All right. I have a question from Travis, who writes in from time to time. He says, actually, Meathead, I don't need any advice. I just enjoy hearing about your escapades in your early years. Do you have a story you could share? And I don't know if this is going to pop in your brain, Dad. He says, your first experience going into a McDonald's restaurant. So you come to the U.S. You've never been to a McDonald's restaurant. There had to have been a first time. Do you recall that?
No, I really have no recollection of it. But I ate, hot dogs and apple pie for a long, long time.
I remember.
Because that's the only thing I knew what the words were.
So you leave the boat, Ellis Island, and they said, what is your name? And you said, hot dog and apple pie.
No. No, that's not it. But when it came food time, you really put a lot of laughter in that one. That was good. I knew about that's my feeding point. Yeah. I can eat that three times a day.
Wow. So that's a lot of hot dog. That's a lot of the same food. So this is spectacular. Because you didn't really know even any English, right?
I knew some.
Apple pie, hot dogs, and you were able to some. I'm always blown away in that part of the story about, with it being so in a new place with no real support group in New York, you managed to make your way to Michigan somehow.
That really was a tough way to go, you know. And then the worst part of that was my mom, there was a very expensive carpeting. I don't know how he managed to put it in his huge suitcase for me to sell it and survive with the money.
It was a fine handmade rug from Iran, which is that's what one of the things they were known for. And so you
totally
bought it.
And guess what I sold it for?
How much?
$150.
That's a lot of money back in 1950 whatever.
That thing probably sold for $5,000.
Wow. So you had it packed in a suitcase. Did you sell it the second? I mean, how did you know where to go? I mean, you just walk up.
No. I didn't sell it immediately. I sold a long time after that.
Oh, okay. I thought you got off the boat and started who wants a rug? Who wants a rug?
No. I took it and I knew where the rug store was. Later on, when I developed knowing what stores are and so forth, I put that on my shoulders and went out to the store that would buy that.
Oh, my God.
And he really stole it from me.
That is, so you got, I guess you got ripped off in the deal, huh?
Oh, my God, big time.
I wonder if that rug is still around today.
I don't know. I have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
I remember walking the road with that sort thing on my shoulder.
When you're walking around in Hamtramck, people are like, oh, God, here's that kid who's always carrying a rug.
I don't know. I found a rug store someplace.
All right. Hey, is Joanne still there? Because someone actually has a question for Joanne.
Yeah, she's sitting next to me. Right arm.
Adam S. writes, dear Joanne, how old was Eric when you met him? I believe, 10? Joanne?
You were 10 years old. You're very young.
9 or 10, somewhere around there. And then he says, what were your first impressions of Eric?
Said he was extremely funny.
Oh!
Said you put that hat on your nose and pulled it back at the ball game.
It made it look like a pig.
Yes.
God.
Holy cow, you remember everything, Joanne.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of stupid stuff like that, and it still happens to this day. I haven't changed a bit.
Eric, I also have a memory of you that you sat on the couch or something. And
Blue Horn would live.
And doing what?
He had his French horn, and she had her flute.
You had a flute or something?
I had a French horn. She played flute, and we played... We were in band in grade school, so we would played, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb together.
Oh my God, you really got there! Oh, I can't remember any of that thing.
Oh yeah, I think there's a picture of it in one of your photo albums.
Yes, there is.
Oh, I'm wearing my Dan Fouts football jersey.
Yep.
She's got her giant hair.
Oh boy! And then, you remember all of these things.
Adam says again. He writes to Joanne. Were you glad that Eric was at his mom's house most of the time?
No, we really enjoyed having you.
Oh yeah, he really was. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was. I always had a good time. I never, you know, sometimes you hear from the perspective of a stepchild that. They didn't really look forward to going over to, like, hang out with their step family. I never felt that way. I always enjoyed that.
That situation never occurred.
No, I didn't have a bad time. I don't know if I can speak for Jim, but I don't know. Maybe it had to do with my age, but I always enjoyed it.
I remember you sitting on that couch, remember?
Yeah, and I remember that I would have a good time visiting. And then, man, I'd go home, and I had to act like I hated it because my mom, if I came back and I was like, oh, my God, we had so much fun, man, she was in a bad mood for a week.
Yeah.
She was.
Oh
no. Well, yeah, I mean, after all the pain kind of subsided, you were able to kind of like regroup. You met Joanne. You went on with your life. Well, she wasn't so lucky. So, I mean, she was very, very jealous by that.
Oh, wow.
But,
wow.
You know, that's the way it goes.
That's right.
She remarried. She got a guy.
Eventually. It took a while. But those 10 years from 80 to 90, oh, boy, those were some rough ones.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But thank
you. I remember you sitting on top of the counter, a little boy.
Yep.
Passed the information that I'm leaving.
Yep. You said, that's it. Can't take it. And I actually remember that. That was only 8 years old, but I do remember that moment. I do remember that. But all right. Anyway, Meathead, Adam writes a question for you, Dad. How old were Joanne's children, daughters, when you met them? Do you know Susie, Lizzie, and Nikki's ages when you met them?
Well,
Susie was 18.
Sue was 18.
Lizzie was 10, I think, or 11. She was a year older than you.
Yeah. So that would make Nikki like 8 or 9, right?
Yeah. Nikki was about 8.
Okay. All right. Okay, so there's that. And then he asks, did you play a role of surrogate father to those girls?
No.
You didn't act. No. Yeah, you did. You were very fatherly to them, weren't you?
I was fatherly.
Yeah, that's what he's asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
I took responsibility for them.
In fact, that still remains true to this day.
Well, not so much.
Older than them.
Well, I'm cautious. You know, I want them to be cautious.
Well, they've all moved on with their own. I mean, they're all older with their own families and stuff. But when they were very young, you know, you kind of had to like, you know.
But you see, they all made good choices, have great husbands. I mean, it's just the whole family is great.
Yeah,
we're the Brady Bunch, Steve.
Yeah. Now, I have a granddaughter now. What's that? It's Chloe. Great-granddaughter or daughter?
Chloe is your granddaughter.
Granddaughter.
What?
She brings in with this little puppy.
Yep.
A puppy rules the roost in here.
I know it. I've seen it. I've watched it. It's she takes that thing everywhere.
And there's no restrictions.
All right, Dad. I got one more question for you. It's a gentleman by the name of Nick, and he writes, Ruben, My five-year-old is getting picked on at school. He is very gentle. The teachers tried talking to the bully, but it still keeps happening. The bully punched my son in the eye. My wife is trying to work it out with the teacher. Nick continues, I am not a fighter, but if I am pushed, I will. I want to kick the kid's ass. No. I want to tell my five-year-old son to kick the kid's ass. Is this too harsh? Signed, Nick.
You shouldn't do that. You know, fighting fire with fire, no. I think you got to lodge a major complaint toward the educational system over there, the school, and let the kid know that, hey, it's not a good thing to do what you're doing, and give him some punishment.
Yeah, I know, but that takes a long time. I mean, if one five-year-old goes up to the other one and puts it right in his eye, that's the end of the problem.
Oh, well, I mean, that's bad news. In fact, if anything, I honestly would say the only way this can be 100% remedied, move your child from that school.
Oh. You know, I remember there was a time years ago when, you know, if anybody did that to us, you would actually go to the school.
I did that.
I know you did. Mr. Petrosella. I was there when you threatened him.
I told him, I said, if you can't be controlling that, major problem is going to come up.
Oh, yeah. That was.
I really would.
You've come a long way, Dad.
Well,
all right.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm out of questions. Do you have anything you want to wrap up with?
Not really. I'm just sitting here. We're looking for nasty weather here. It was a pretty nasty weather last night.
Tickle your ass with a feather.
So, quite a bit of rain came out, which is all right.
All right. Okay, Dad, I love you very much. You guys are the best. I'm going to cut this off.
I'm back. I love your audience. They're wonderful people.
Yes. Yes, they are.
I wish they all live around here next to me.
I know. I wish so. I wish that was so. Okay, guys. I'll talk to you.
I love you. Thanks for your call, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man.